Good morning.
Morning.
Praise God. Look at that view out there. Woo! Praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of coming together in your name for your purposes according to your will and direction. We acknowledge our total dependency upon you and proclaim the reality that you're the living God, well able to meet every human need, and you desire to make it out of your heart of love expressed through your compassion. We thank you that you've called us to be your ambassadors and to go forth from this place to proclaim the truth that you are all the mighty, you're the creator and sustainer of all life, you are the one who is to be honored above all else and who is in control. We rest in your ability, we are transformed by your energy and your vision, and we acknowledge our total dependency and our encouragement that comes by your Spirit as you walk in and through us to proclaim freedom for those we come in contact and salvation, deliverance. May your will be done, and we proclaim this valley to be your valley. The kingdom of God is being established in this place for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. And listen to this out of Romans 4:20-21. The word of God proclaims, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promises of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God Almighty, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do that which he has promised. And he has promised this region to us for his glory. Southern Arizona is his. Amen.
Praise God.
When we were praying over Catalina, I saw it was almost like, you know how you break an egg over something? That this power was broken and spread down the hill. And it was probably more like honey. You know, it was thick and it was just flowing down the hill. And from it was this, the Shekinah glory, the you know, like sparkles up from his power. It was just beautiful. Lord, let it be. Let it be. Thank you, Lord.
And I would declare and I would decree that the rumbling has even yet begun, that there is a shaking in the earth, that the worship that has gone forth from this place has begun a shaking, a shaking, a shaking, a shaking, a shaking. For his glory, in Jesus' name.
I sensed his presence this morning, and I wanted to cry big tears this morning, but men don't cry.
The Lord was showing me what Chris was saying. As I was looking down over there, I just saw the waves covering the land, and then just keep on going, and then covering the Oro Valley, and then all of Arizona just covering, and it's a wave of compassion. And you know that they're truly loved by her father. And then, you know, I just saw that, just the love pouring out, and, you know, just it all fits.
Okay, when Richard was praying, and he was saying the word, and it says, no, it's not done, it's not done. There are four more words, and you count them. There were indeed four more words. One, two, three, four. Amen, and then some, right?
I mean, let's all get into this glory. I just saw a lightning hit each house, and it was a lightning of salvation. Every house I could see.
Richard, right now on this thing says that we're supposed to do offering, but I don't feel that that's supposed to be right now. So would you mind leading us in a little bit more worship? I believe that we're supposed to do a little bit more worship. So
amen.
Thank
amen.
You.
And at a time like this, yet at a time is coming and has now come,
yes,
when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Dear Lord, we just lift up these offerings and tithes and gifts to you, Lord Jesus. Let them be abundant. Let them go forth and meet every need that they are entitled for, Lord Jesus. Where two mites rubbed together can change the world just by one gift, Lord. We just ask you to bless these gifts, Lord. Let them go forth, Lord, in your power, and let them be anointed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I should put... So I think I put it on. Okay, good. And now I'm going to turn this off. But wow. Wow, wow, wow. All I can say is wow. If you didn't get that, wow. Wow. What can I say? Wow. Was this good or what? Thank you, Richard, for leading us in worship, and thank you so much for being willing to do more. I appreciate it so much. It's neat to see how God has just helped us all to grow, huh, in the Lord, as we continue growing and growing and growing in the Lord and what he does. And as we have continued to worship him and praising him with his tithes and our offerings, what a special time, huh? It's continued to be worship. Every act of obedience is worship. So Lord, we lift these up to you. These are your tithes and our offerings, Lord. We thank you and praise you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, as he just continues to guide and direct us, Lord. So anything above your tithes, Lord God, these are offerings in obedience to you with cheerful hearts that are for you, Lord God, for your purposes. For you know Pathway of Hope wants to be a church or part of the church body, Lord God, the body of Christ, that is a church proclaiming your truth, Lord God, being a light here in the community and majorly beyond. Lord, I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that as these are presented to you, Lord God, I thank you and praise you that even 10% of these non-designated tithes and offerings go to missions around the world, because it's not just about us, but it's about you and glorifying you and getting the word out to others of that hope. I truly thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your love for each and every one of us. And I thank you that these tithes and offerings will be used to help continue to spread your love throughout this community, this city, this state, this nation, and beyond. I thank you and praise you, Lord God. We do together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So, I need to get rid of my gum. I use the gum to help me with my dry throat. Yes, please. Not that I know how we're going to go, because, you know, it kind of got like all changed up. Kind of, that happened last night too. I think he's in the change-up mode. So, announcements, never mind. So, I'm not going to do that right now, but thank you for doing that, and we're going to go to announcements, because you got to go to work here pretty soon. Yeah, 12:30 on the, okay. So we put 12:30 on there. That gives us time, because sometimes if we're running a little late and tear down and that gives us a little time. And then it gives, like, some people time. Like, if anybody needs to go home and get something, go home and get it. I'll do the teardown. And because remember, I'm not the cook anyways. Paul is. So, I'll do the teardown. That's fine with me. Unless you bring something. So, but, and there's a reason, you guys remember. You know, that's okay with us, because we were married a month, and he said, you know, the 23 years gone, he said, it's not your cooking, Karen. I like your cooking. It's just that, he goes, I really enjoy it, and I miss it, because it's an R&R to me. And I go, it is not to me. It is stress. Here you go.
And so, and I used to bake a lot, you know, with when the kids, but now I don't bake, I haven't for years, but I used to bake a whole lot. And then I would do, like, we would do Thanksgiving dinners. I would do, you know, a turkey, he would do a turkey, you know, that kind of stuff, and big things like that, make lasagna by scratch, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I got out of that. And I'm, you know, good with him, you know, cooking. But, you know, but so now, okay. I used to do yard work, enjoyed that. Don't here. Everything has thorns. And the thorns go through everything. So I gave that to him, too. Thank you, honey. So guess what? I mean, I am just, like, floored at how our God works. Because Richard, I mean, the songs that you picked were like, it once again, you know how we've seen this so often happen. Even with Pastor Janet, you know, with the worship leader, whoever that worship leader is, you often see the Holy Spirit working it together. And it was like, wow, Lord. Well, today we are going to hit the last E. Yeah, I know. It only took us, what, 4 months? But the last E in the word that the Lord gave us is receive. Now, this is for basically any Christian. But you know how God has specific words he speaks over certain ones. And so, therefore, for Pathway of Hope, he said he wanted us to receive. But he wants all of us as the body of Christ to receive. So R, does anybody remember what R stood for? R is rejoice. Rejoice. So remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So continually rejoicing in what we have in him. So receive the power that comes with rejoicing. There's power and praise and worship. He wants us to constantly be thankful for our salvation. So rejoice. Then he wants us to receive edification, correction. And he wants us to receive it in a way, knowing it's because out of his love. And we have that responsibility one to another in a loving way as part of the body of Christ. We're an extension of his hand to others. Then we had C, comfort, to receive his comfort, to receive his consolation through the Holy Spirit. The edification comes through the Holy Spirit too. But so does the comfort. And we need to receive it, because if we're not going to receive it, then it's not going to do us any good. He's not going to force us to rejoice. He's not going to force us to receive the joy that he has given us. He's not going to force us to receive the edification. He's not going to force us to receive his comfort and consolation. He's not going to reforce us to receive the encouragement that we receive from the Holy Spirit and through his word. That was the E. Then I was impartation. He's not going to force us to receive everything that he has to impart to us. He's not going to force us to receive the V, victory. He's not going to force us to walk victoriously each and every day. We have a choice to receive that and to walk victoriously in the victory that we have for what he paid the price for us to have through Jesus, his blood that was shed on the cross for us. And then the E, empower. He wants us to receive the empowerment that he has for each and every one of us. We have so much from him, and he wants us to receive that and to move in it and walk in that each and every day, but he doesn't force us to. Empower, in the dictionary I was looking up, and it means to invest with power, especially like a legal power or official authority, to authorize, to equip or supply with the ability to enable. I like empowerment as a noun. It says to invest with authority to authorize. In other words, we have been invested with the authority and the power of his name, of his word, of his truth, of the blood that was shed for us, of that resurrection power that we walk in each and every day. So over everything, we have been empowered by him, but we have to receive it. Have you ever been complimented and then later you don't feel that compliment really much anymore? Because maybe also somebody said something or did something, or something happened, and you're kind of feeling discouraged again. Well, that's the same thing with all of this. We have to continually receive this. It's a continually dying to self and receiving all that he has for us. That comes with empowerment too. Empower, as I said, give or delegate power or authority to, an entitlement, an appointment, a charge. We are ambassadors. We are his ministers, and we've been charged to go out and make disciples of all nations, everyone. We have been charged to do that. Once we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if you know that, all you have to do is go out and tell them. Now, as you're growing in the Lord, you'll be able to share more. But the first and the most important thing is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. So once you have recognized Jesus, that you've repented of your sins and recognized Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been empowered right there and then. And you have the Holy Spirit. You can evangelize right there and then for him. Empower. Give qualities or abilities to endow, to endue, to gift. Invest. But I like this one. Cover. Invest with a large or excessive amount of something. We are covered by the blood. We are so empowered. Is that cool? It says, an example, she covered herself with glory. The righteousness of God is ours. And we are covered with his glory. We are covered with his empowerment each and every day, but we have to receive that. And we have to daily walk in it because sometimes it can slip off and we have to grab it back and allow it to be back on us again. Because in this world, you will have trials and tribulations. And sometimes we forget about we're overcomers in this world. So yeah, you have a trial and a tribulation and you're kind of walking along and you're covered by the blood, but all of a sudden it starts kind of coming off a little bit and you're forgetting and you're kind of like still struggling and then all of a sudden, oops, and you're like, so overwhelmed with it. And Jesus is saying, come on, take it on again and cover what I did. Because see, in this covering, we are empowered. In Revelation chapter 19, it talks about his robe is dipped in blood. And on his robe and on his thigh, it is written that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says that he is named the Word of God. And that is ours. That's our empowerment. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, and Dean read verses 20 and 21, but it says, this is about Abraham. And in verse 19, it says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. Do you have some things that you felt God had promised you or gifts or talents that you haven't used yet? You're kind of thinking, Lord, he's spoken to you on something, and you're going, well, where is it? I haven't seen it yet. And you're kind of thinking, you're kind of feeling that promise is kind of deadened. But yet you know God fulfills his promises. And Abraham knew this. Abraham was feeling a bit old. He was 100 and his wife, and God had promised through them that they were going to bear a child. And when he promised this, they were older. And they just kept getting older. But it says no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. What happened in those years is it says that he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Did you feel the empowerment in our worship? Yes. Did you? I was like, you are too cool, God. I mean, I felt it. And I knew that that was part of his plan for today. He knew where we would be, and he guided Richard on what songs to lead us in worship. He knew exactly. And he knows every step of what you're going to, when you leave here, and what your week's going to entail. And his empowerment is right there. But sometimes we get down and we're not praising and worshiping him. And there's power in praise and worship and giving glory to him, to our Lord God. In this, he was fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised he would do. Amen. He knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that God spoke to him and said what he said to him, and that was a promise, and it was going to be done. And so he took his eyes off, and he allowed the glory of God to cover him so that he could continue walk in those day in and day out trials and tribulations. Now, sometimes we do doubt, and that's where we have that wonderful Mark 9 example of the father, and he was going to Jesus, and his son was just really troubled by a demonic spirit, and the disciples couldn't heal him, and so he goes to Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, whatever a man believes, it can be done. And the father's going, well, I believe, but I have some doubt. I have some lack of faith. And Lord, help me to believe. And what does Jesus do? He meets him where he's at, and he heals his son. Doesn't even go there. Just the word is spoken. That was that mustard seed faith example. The father believed, but he was going, man, but I'm struggling. Help my unbelief. I'm struggling. I've got some lack of faith there. And Jesus took care of it, and he took that little mustard seed because he was admitting, hey, and he took it, and he healed his son with his all-consuming, covering faith over his little mustard seed faith. In this, Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, in the Amplified, as it said he was fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he promised. The voice says, the translation says, because he was supremely confident that God could deliver on his promise. In the New Living Translation, it says, he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. In the New King James Version, it says, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And then in the NIV version, it says, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. See, he knew that God had the all power, and God, all powerful, would be able to do what he told him he would do, no matter what the circumstances look like. So we need to take our eyes off of the circumstances and look to our God, because he is where we receive our empowerment to continue on. But we have to receive that. We have to walk in it. We have to remember that every scripture is God-breathed. It is given by his inspiration, not ours. And it is profitable for instruction. It is for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living and conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. So that the man of God, the man and woman of God, may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped, empowered for every good work. That's receiving edification. And then you're empowered to be able to go on for every good work. He has called each and every one of us, and he is not finished with us yet. And we can receive that empowerment to continue on in spite of the circumstances. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, empowered me so that through me the gospel message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was delivered out of the jaws of the lion." There is a lion out there that's seeking to devour not only us, but each and every one of these souls out here. And those are the ones that we, in our sphere of influence, wherever we're at, even on vacation, are ones that God wants us to be a light to them. And remember, that is not always in words. It's more in love and action. Love in action. That's what God wants us to do. And then, if he wants us to open up our mouth, we pray, "God, help us to open up our mouth and to say what is well-pleasing to you." That is empowerment. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. There's the word, the Greek word, in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I was looking, and the King James doesn't have the word empower. So I was kind of like, okay, Lord, I felt that that's what you said, receive empowerment. But then I looked up on the Amplified, and there were four examples. And one of them is an example in Revelation and like of Satan being empowered to do the authority that he has. So I'm going to take the good ones, okay? And but that same word was from 1743 in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and I'm not going to say how to pronounce it. But it's this one is taken in Romans 4:20, Ephesians 6:10, and Philippians 4:13. We all know Philippians 4:13. We all know Ephesians 6:10, part of the armor of God. And then Romans 4:20, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So we've heard this a few times. Many of us maybe not remembering that one as much as we know Ephesians 6:10 and Philippians 4:13. In that, though, the definition, the Greek, to empower, to enable, to increase in, to strengthen, to be or to make strong. It comes from 17:22 and 14:12, and I like this. It's denoting a fixed position in place, time, or state. And it's by implication of instrumentality, medially and constructively, in relation of rest in, at, upon, or on, and by. We are to rest in him. We sang that in our worship. And then it says to enable, to strengthen. See, we need to rest in that we are empowered, we are enabled, and we are strengthened to do and face whatever comes our way, to fulfill God's promises, to do what he's called us to do, and to carry the load of what he is allowing us to carry, to go through what he is allowing us to go through, because we know that he's going to work that out together for our good, because we love him. We are called according to his purpose, and that is to love him, to glorify him, to obey him, and to love others. We are empowered. And these verses, as Ephesians 6:10, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord and be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which is his boundless might provides. And then Philippians 4:13, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Jesus Christ's sufficiency. Strength, also, that same word was used for some other words, not just strengtheneth, but strength in Acts 9:22, But Saul increased all the more in strength. He was empowered and continued to confound and put to confusion the Jews who lived in Damascus by comparing and examining evidence and proving that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. The same Greek word for strengthened in 2 Timothy 4:17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, empowered me, so that through me the gospel message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was delivered out of the jaws of the lion. Once again, Philippians 4:13. This one was used, strengtheneth is in the King James, that empowers me. I am ready for anything, equal to anything, through him who infuses that inner strength in me, through Jesus. Romans 4:20, the Amplified, as I said again. I love the way they use both, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith. And that one is for the word strong, and they used it from 1743. Ephesians 6:10, same thing. They used both. He was to be strong in the Lord and empowered through your union with him. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says that we are one with the Lord. We are united with him in spirit. And so in that union with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that empowerment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, so you, my son, be strong, and my daughter, strengthened inwardly, remember, infused in the grace, the spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Jesus Christ. He is the one that empowers us to face and do what he has called us to face and do. And it's all for his glory, not ours. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34. It says, extinguished the power of raging fire. This is the faith chapter. So it's talking about all these people, right? The faith chapter, Hebrews 11. And they extinguished the power of raging fire. They quenched the violence of fire, is the King James Version. They escaped the devourings of the sword out of the frailty and weakness. They are frail and weak, right? But they won strength. They were made strong and became stalwart, even mighty and resistless in battle, routing alien hosts, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They were empowered. Same word that is used, 1743, the Greek. I remember going, Lord, I really want to know what stalwart means, because I wasn't really totally and completely sure on that. So you know how God loves us, right? And he teaches us. And I didn't have time to look it because I was doing some other studying, and then we had to go get going to jail ministry. Well, Paul then, he says, Karen, I want to read something to you as I was getting ready for jail ministry. Stalwart women, and it's of women in Arizona. And somebody had loaned him these books, and Frontier Stories of Indomitable Spirit. So stalwart, I looked it up, says, marked by outstanding strength of vigor of body, mind, or spirit. We have that empowerment in Jesus Christ. Strongly and stoutly built, sturdy and robust, strong and brave, valiant. I like this one. Firm, steadfast, or uncompromising. Because we are four square in his word. And you can't move us. That truth is firm. And we need to grasp it. Because in that truth, that uncompromising truth, we are empowered to continue on. Well, listen to a couple stories of these stalwart women. Consider Coralie Mix Converse. She was an army wife at Camp Lincoln in central Arizona, not far from the present site of Fort Verde. One morning in 1867, this lively 19-year-old cinched herself into her corseted riding habit and rode 56 miles to Prescott side saddle. She stabled her horse, took a bath, changed into her evening gown, and still had enough spark to dance all night at the governor's ball. To put the feat into perspective, a normal day's march for Calvary was 40 miles. 50 days after her epic ride, Coralie's husband was badly wounded in action and became an invalid. For the next 34 years, she tended to him on a disability pension of $62 a month. She was empowered by the Lord and able to do what she did, as we are empowered by the Lord. But we have to receive that empowerment to be stalwart for his glory. Another woman, in 1874, Mrs. Fanny Stevens was with her three small children at Lonesome Ranch when Apache struck. For hours, she fought them off, shooting from the windows. Late that day, cowboys heard the noise and drove the Indians away. "I'll take word to Mr. Stevens at town, ma'am," one of the cowboys volunteered. "Just write out whatever you want to say." Mrs. Stevens deliberated. Then she wrote this message. "Dear Lewis, the Apaches came. I am mighty nigh out of buckshot. Please send me more. Your loving wife." That's stalwart. She didn't say, "Where were you? I'm defending this ranch and the three youngins by myself, 4 hours shooting off those Indians." No, she's saying, "I'm out of buckshots." Have you ever felt that way, that you've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, and you know the Lord loves you? He's your groom. And you're going, you're not saying, "Where are you?" You're saying, "I need more. I need more buckshots, because the enemy's there. So give me some more ammo." And he's saying, "I'm empowering you. I've got it for you. Just come to me. Because my messenger, the Holy Spirit, he'll get that need right to me. He's the cowboy coming to your rescue. And he's going to empower you. And he's going to give you the strength to be stalwart for his glory. Whatever you face, he is the one that can help you. We can't do it alone. We need him to empower us. I handed out to you John chapter 15 in the New King James Version. And I would like us to read that together out loud. Because see, as we are in the Word, he who is the Word is the one where we get that empowerment to continue on. This Word is alive and true. And this is our empowerment also. There are many ways he empowers us. But this Word is our buckshots. This Word is our strength when somebody is in need day in and day out to help them. This Word is our spiritual exercise. This Word is our empowerment because it is Jesus. Let's read together. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But this, my Father, is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they did to do to you for my sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. When Jesus Christ became your Lord and Savior, that was your beginning. And you have, well, yeah, he created you, but you then were empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit when Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And you do need to continue to receive that empowerment. There is persecution coming, and more persecution. There is persecution just horrible around the world. And we need to continue to pray for those who are persecuted and martyred. And those families that remain, for those that have already gone to be with the Lord. But I need to prepare you to be empowered. God has told us to receive because he knows what is coming. More darkness. That's more persecution. You think in the United States we haven't had much. There has been. And it's going to get worse. And we need to be empowered to face the challenges that are coming our way. So be in the Word. Be a part of this discipleship program, because if you cannot make it Thursday nights, be a part and continuing to grow, because no matter how long that you've been a Christian, there is still more to learn, more and more to learn, and more to be reminded in, and more enlightenment, because as we draw near to him, He will draw near to us, and he will show us great and mighty things that we know not of. But we need to be able to receive. We need to be in the Word, and we need to receive everything that he has for us, to be able to use it, to be equipped, to be strengthened, to be stalwart for him, no matter what we face. For we are the spotless bride of Christ, and we are mighty warriors for him. And it's for his glory, because he loves not only us, but them. Richard, could you lead us in a song, a worship song? And can the prayer altar ministry please come up? And then we'll have a song of worship. And then I will do a closing prayer. So if you do want some prayer, we'll do a worship song. And then I will, like I said, close us in prayer.